Okay, would you turn your Bible to the second chapter of the Exodus? And we will start. This morning's title is very simple, With or Without God. Of course, we say we want with God, right? Yes. But sometimes we act like without God. Let me put it in this way. Whether you have a Pinto, you know, the most capable car, right? Whether you have a Pinto or the Italian masterpiece Ferrari in your garage, how many of you guys have a Ferrari in your garage?
Oh, I do.
You do? Okay, great. Good for you. Two of them. Is that a Hot Wheel about your size? Anyway, it doesn't matter what kinds of vehicle you have. There's one common denominator for you to drive that thing. What would that be? Gasoline. If you don't have a gasoline in Ferrari, it's not as useful as a Pinto with a tank full of gas. It doesn't matter how wonderful your car might be with all the gizmo. By the way, did you see some of the dashboard of the new car? When they turn it on at night, it looked like a spaceship. If you don't have a gasoline in the tank, you are not going anywhere. Of course, you can put the car clutch in the neutral and start to push. I don't think you're going to go very far. We can apply the same illustration in our spiritual lives. Some people might have everything lined up, but they live outside of God's will or try to do the things of God with their own power. Biggest problem with a Christian they're serving in the ministry, if they come to the point they are being burned out, they are doing it with their own power. They may have started with the God's power, but somehow they veer off. If you are doing it with God's power, you will never be burned out. Am I making sense to you? I'm not condemning you if you are one of those people who are burned out in the ministry. There are time for you to say, okay, I need a vacation. I need a time off. Nothing wrong with those things. We are driven, many of us are driven people. You're looking at one. I am a very, very driven person. There are times we should say, okay, enough, back off, take the time off. And when we don't do that, we don't get recharged. The Lord, who doesn't need any rest, he worked how many days? 6 days. And the seventh day, he rest. Why did he do that? Because he needed a break? No. He was showing an example for us. Please be careful. You are involved in the ministry. Do it according to the will of God. Do it according to the power of God. If you don't, you will be burned out, I guarantee you. It doesn't matter how well you are doing now. And people without in the will of God, they are miserable and they face a spiritual failure after failure. Then there are people who don't have a whole lot in the eyes of the world, but they trust God and leave everything in the hands of God and follow the Lord. To many people's surprise, God blessed them beyond anybody's wildest imagination. I'm not talking about with the money. I'm not talking about great health. You can be bedridden, still you can be blessed by the Lord. Do you know that? This morning we are going to see two individuals. Young mom, one who completely trusts the Lord, and when she released the baby, her few months old baby, and put him in the basket into the Nile River, somehow God would take care of that child. And better than being drowned in the Nile River. And here's another person who tried to do God's will with his power, ended up backside of a Midian desert. And we can learn very important things from these two people. They are mother and son, but we can see the difference. It is my prayer that we all learn from these two people. One, with God. One without God. Amen? Let's stop and pray. Father, it is our desire, it is our hope that we always be guided by your eyes, not just your strong hand because you punish us or you correct us. We want to know your will so well that we want to be guided by you, as the psalmist said. Father, teach us. We know through your word you will speak to us. We know that your will is always good for us. Even if the right this moment it may not look good, it's good for us. Father, we are asking your guidance and the anointing upon this word, that our heart be open and receive your word with a gladness. And your anointing upon the one who speaks. He may not speak anything other than your word, your message. Father, we pray for this coronavirus to be eradicated completely from this earth and heal those who are sick and mend those who lost their family members and put us back into the normal situation. Father, we pray for this upcoming election. This country is deeply divided. Those who want the socialism and those who don't want the socialism is pretty much down to that. And Father, we are asking your will be done. And Father, we pray for, as your word said in Romans, according to Romans 13, we pray for our the leaders, President Trump. Father, he may be guided by you, that he may do everything right in your sight, not his own. And Father, we pray for those who are in the offices. Father, again, we are asking your will be done. And we are asking for your protection for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters. And Father, we are asking you to protect them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Exodus, please. And a man of the house, Levi, went and took as a wife the daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when he saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took a bulrush for him and dabbed it with the asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reed by the river's bank. And his sister stood far off and to know what would be done to him. Stop there, please. When Moses was born, Egypt was a superpower in the known world at that time. And he was born among the Hebrews. They are the aliens in the Egyptians' mind. Under the subject of cruel taskmaster and the pharaohs of the place. Pharaoh, he knew nothing of what Joseph, Hebrew men did for this Egypt. However, one thing Moses had in his favor, his parents were godly people. They trust God enough to let go of him. His parents did not only what is a natural protective instinct, but they put their trust in the Lord by releasing him into his care. Would you keep your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 15, please? Verse 16. In the fourth generation, they shall return. That is Israeli people, Hebrews, shall return here, that land of Canaan. For the iniquities of the Amorite is not yet completed. What does it mean? Remember that Jacob's sons and daughters came from the land of Canaan, right? They moved to Egypt, and they stayed there for 400 years. And then now they are going to go back. However, when they went back, God allowed them to destroy everybody in the land of Canaan. Have you ever thought about that? Why in the world God would do that kind of thing? Because they are absolutely wicked people. since the death of Joseph, 400 some years passed, and Lord allowed them, multi-generation of Hebrews, to endure the hardship and slavery from Egyptians. At the same time, he was giving opportunities to the wicked nation of Canaan to repent from it. Think about it, folks. It took a real strong faith in the Lord for this woman, young mother, to put the baby Moses in the basket, the outside covered with the asphalt so it can be waterproof, into the river. Remember what the Pharaoh's order was. If it's a male child, drown the child in the river. In other words, at the bottom of the Nile River, there are a lot of Hebrew babies, dead bodies there. But she was putting him in the ark and into the river. I guess you can say that Moses was a basket case from all the ages. I know that's a corny joke. Move on. What Moses' mama did is something we should take it to our heart. Trusting our Lord for our children's future. There's not a better way to raise your precious children and your grandchildren than God's. Teach them about the Lord Jesus at their young age. That is better than any inheritance you can ever give to them. Put your children in the hands of our God by living for them, living for Him with your words and action. Let your children see your faith and obedience in Him. If you do that, it is far better than any earthly inheritance you can possibly give to them. You cannot say, believe in Jesus Christ, when you don't believe in Him. Are you following me? You cannot say, trust Him, while you're panicking and you're worrying about what's going to happen. Go to the verse 5 of chapter 2, please. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. Her maiden walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reed, she sent her maid to get it. When she had opened it, she saw a child. Behold, the baby wept. Just in time, right? So that she had a compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from a Hebrew woman? And at that she may nurse the child for you." The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Stop, please. In God's providential will, Pharaoh's daughter found the baby Moses, then hired Moses' mama to nurse him. Not only Moses' mom get to keep him for extra length of time and knew the child is safe, and then while she's doing that, she got paid. That's God's will. By being adopted the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, Moses became a member of the royal family. According to ancient Jewish historian Josephus, Moses became a crown prince, which means he would be the next heir to the throne of Egypt. He also led the Egyptian army into victories in many battles against the Ethiopians. God allows unbelievers to do horrible things and evil things in the world. God allows them. But He can use all of them to accomplish His purpose and His will. I'm sure that Moses was raised with the highest available education in Egypt. Would you keep your finger there? Go to Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of Egyptians, and mighty words, mighty in words and deeds. Stop there, please. Don't think that what the Egyptian had was a kind of primitive to compare with the 21st century technology. Please don't. Because their knowledge in astronomy is a surprisingly advanced. Did you know that they already knew the distance between Earth and the Sun exactly? It's the same as now, 21st century. They knew all of that. And they also had a theory. The Earth was round, not flat like a contemporary kingdom smart, quote-unquote, scientist. When it comes to embalming technique, what they had is way ahead of the 21st century. I'm sure you've seen some of the Tutankhamun's the image. And they recently they also found another embalmed bodies. After 4,000 years, they are still intact. I'm sure the funeral director would love to have that kind of thing as a premium package for themselves. Another thing is that their paint is exceptionally bright. Of course, what they had was caked with the dust, 4,000 years old dust. When they wipe them off, the paint is brighter than what we have now. Think about it. When was the last time you guys have repainted the house because the color faded? How long do they guarantee? Maybe 7 years, at the maximum. At the 10th year, you guys can see the streak coming down. We had to paint our home, and we moved in there 2006. And we had to spend boku bucks on the repainting the house. I was putting this together. I was thinking, wish we had that kind of paint, and I don't have to ever paint it again. Verse 11, please. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked at this way and that way. When he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, the two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to one who did wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Stop there again, please. The scene fast forwarded to probably late 30 or early 40 of Moses. Between verse 10 and 11, according to Hebrews 11, 24 and 26, we find that Moses made up his mind that he would live as a Hebrew man, not as Egyptian, as the prince, crown prince. You know, he said, "Who made you?" I'm sorry. He thought, "Since I am chosen above all the other Hebrews, I'll be the leader." Let's keep your finger there and go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews located right before the book of James in the New Testament, way in the back. Hebrews 11, verse 24. You there yet? By faith, he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. I love the way it describes enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. However, from what we see in verse 12, Moses was not doing God's work according to God's way. He was walking by sight, not by faith. He tried to do it his way, and it didn't go very well. He killed a man. Was it self-defense? Not really. It's a pretty much premeditated murder. And he tried to hide the evidence. The Lord was going to deliver Hebrews in a different way, in his way. by doing so, no one can claim that it was done by man. Am I making sense to you? A lot of times we try to help God. God says no. Let me put it this way. I said this, I'm going to repeat it again. If the miracle can be, if you say you saw some miracle, something fantastic, and it can be explained away with a man's thing, it's not a miracle. Are you with me on that? Miracle cannot be explained. That's why we call it miracle. It's only God can pull that kind of thing. Let me ask you this question. Did God needed Moses to pull the Exodus? Come on, answer me. He didn't need Moses. He could use anybody else. While the Lord does not need us to accomplish His will, but He still wants us to because of His love for us. I said this when our daughter was young. She was like 6, 7 years old. She wanted to help wrapping a paper, you know, Christmas present or birthday present. I could do so much faster without her. But I let her do it. I make her think that she's doing something. I ask her to hold this and put this ribbon. She thinks she did everything. Isn't that how it goes with us? Somehow God, in His grace and kindness and love, He let us be in His will. And somehow we think that we've done something. No, it is God. Don't ever try to take the glory from Him. Verse 15. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. I'm sure it's a good way to get rid of any possibility of the revolution. So Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the trough to water their father's flock. Then shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood and helped them water their flocks. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of a shepherd. He also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So he said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave a Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. She bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in the foreign land." Stop there, please. Contrast to the first 40 years of Moses' life, that was a filled with excitement and the perfect preparation for his success to the throne in Egypt. Next 40 years, a seemingly meaningless and waiting period of total waste. That's what we would think, but not in God's mind. Verse 21 through 22, Moses setting a BSD degree. Backside desert degree. From the school of hard knocks, the Lord used our backside desert experience to peel away our mask so that we may discover who we really are. Am I making sense to you? During the difficult time, that's the time we can really realize who we are in the Lord. We must understand this. Any service we offer to our Lord must be done by the direction of the Holy Spirit with His anointing. If we don't, whatever we do is futile and He will not accept it because it's done in the strength of our flesh and in our own way. While we wait upon the Lord, we get to know His heart and His will. We're going to find out how to build an altar. I'm sure we learned that in some of them in the Genesis. Especially as this Israelis, bless you, as they traveled to the promised land, whenever they are told to build an altar, they didn't come up with a saw and hammer. Do you know what they did? they just look for the big stone. Not supposed to be touched by a man's hand. That's the idea. We are not supposed to put our strength so we can claim the victory and glory unto ourselves. The Lord had removed the ideas and the zeal of Moses so that he could be empty to receive all of God's will in his heart. Let me put it in this way. If you hold on to something so tight, can you receive anything else? Answer me. Yes, no. Until you empty this, whatever you have with your own strength, you cannot receive what God is going to pour into your hand. You must let it go. And he will pour out the blessing that far beyond whatever you had in your hand before. I'm sure that you all noticed the interesting comparison to see how a young godly mother of Moses who obeyed and did what she was told to do, and she was blessed later. Versus Moses who tried to do God's work on his own strength and end up running for his life. I like what the late Pastor Chuck, founder of Calvary Chapel, said. Everything is a preparation for something else. Did you hear that? Everything is a preparation for something else. That's what we call, another way to say it is consequences and reward. If you've done something right, you will receive reward. If you've done something wrong, you will receive consequences. It may not happen right away. It may not be in the money-wise, but it will happen according to God's way. You know, I never thought when I was involved in the prison ministry. No, I was not a prisoner. I was involved in the prison ministry. It was kind of funny to explain to some people. I've been in and out of prison the last 12 years. They look at me like, what did you do? I never thought while I was in the prison ministry that it was a paving ground, a proving ground. That's the training place to become a pastor. Verse 23, please. Now it happened in the process of time the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God, and because of bondage. Verse 24, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and he acknowledged them. Stop there, please. According to movie Ten Commandments, how many of you guys remember the Ten Commandments? Good. Young bucks don't have it. Ten Commandments, is that a movie? Yeah, it is a movie. You gotta watch it. In Ten Commandments, Yul-Brynner was a pharaoh, wasn't it not? And he's the one who shoo away Moses into Midian desert. And when Moses came back after 40 years, Yul-Brynner is still in charge. Not so, not according to Bible. That former pharaoh was dead and the new pharaoh came in. As usual, Hollywood just had to be wrong again. Have you ever seen the other side of a tapestry or a rug? You know, when you look at all the yarns, when you look at from the other side, all the yarn running across and no clear picture, it doesn't make any sense until you go to the other side. That is what our life is like. From our side, we don't see entire picture other than mangled and knotted, even broken pieces. From the other side, Lord is making an image of Jesus in our life that we could not comprehend from the other side. It seemed that the Lord is doing nothing for the Hebrew people 400 some years, yet he heard their groaning under bondage. He was waiting for the right time, right reason, and right plan to start. Moses was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Soon he would be shepherding over 2 million people, and that would become the Hebrew nation. His mundane shepherd step. I know some of you guys have seen this crooked shepherd step. Do you know there is no tree branch that goes like this? It had to be manipulated. It had to be fabricated. That mundane shepherd's staff turned into the rod, turned into the staff to lead 2 million people, and became the power and the leadership symbol. Because he was faithful to do a minuscule and humble task of shepherding, he would be entrusted with leading Jewish nation out of the oppressed nation. Same goes for us. While the Lord waits for the right moment, which we think it's an eternity away, he hears our groaning, see our fear in our hearts and our eyes, and know our sadness. But he remembers his promise to us. God never breaks his promises, ever. Amen? There are many churches that are breaking away from the authenticity of the Christianity in order to accommodate what they want. Bigger size church and more money and fame. Here are the things we believe. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Agreed? People are sinners and need salvation through Jesus Christ without an exception. Agreed? The Bible has a complete authority and inerrancy. Agreed? However, many churches are embracing different doctrines now. And they even say that all good people go to heaven. Is that true?
No.
Come on, they are good people.
No.
They never had any criminal records. Aren't you guys a little bit bigot? Aren't you guys a little bit narrow-minded? All right, how about this? Homosexuality is not so bad. It's just a different lifestyle. They love each other. And the homosexual and lesbians are Christians as long as they love God. And their loving God will not send them to hell. Is that correct? Yes, no?
No.
Are you sure? Why? Clearly says in the Bible, to deny the Bible, they are going directly against God. This is the voice of God. It's not just a book. I know what the Bible means. It means book. But this is not just an ordinary book. It's a God's book. And they said, there is nothing wrong with the Eastern religion, with their practice of meditating and meditation through yoga and special breathing technique and repeating mantra to hear God speak to people. Do you know there are churches who actually do this as a part of their worship service? Don't think that it's not happening in Tucson or Pima County. Do you know Santa Fe is Mecca of the New Age movement? There are a lot of Lala people, Lala Land people.
Lala Land.
Lala Land people, yes. And the Jerome, Arizona. Have you ever been there?
Where?
Jerome. And the Bisbee? Tucson is another place for the Lala New Age people are. On 22nd Street, before you get to the Albanon, between the country club and, I think it's somewhere close to the country club, there's one place called the Metaphysics Store. They sell tarot card and fortune-telling thing, all this stuff. Please do not read the fortune-telling thing. Okay, it's not from God. It's from the pit of hell. What I just listed, all the good people go to heaven, and homosexual is not bad. And accepting other religions, embracing religions, other religions, all of that are from the pit of hell. If you go to that place, I recommend you not to go to that kind of place. And if somebody insists there, then you have to keep your eyes open and your minds open so that you don't get tempted. And some people will say, well, those churches have a lot of good points. Yeah, so the porcupines. How about embracing porcupine? Just because it sounds good, that doesn't mean it is right. Are you with me?
Yes.
follow this book. That's why we recite the Word of God, the absolute truth and final authority. This book never speaks errancy. One application. With God, without the Lord, we are nothing and can do nothing. Let me say one more. Say it with me. Without the Lord, we are nothing and can do nothing. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.